Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is the most poetically written of all of the Gospels. So if you are a left-brain thinker, if you are someone who likes art and poetry and abstract thinking, you're going to love the Gospel of John. If you are more of a right-brain thinker and you like concrete things, the Gospel of John might be a little hard for you. When the Gospel of John equates Jesus with the Word and says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, you may wonder, what is this book talking about? But no matter whether you're a left-brain thinker or a right-brain thinker, we need to remember that when we are trying to describe God, God is beyond our human words. God is undescribable. And so poetry, symbolism, helps us get more of a handle on this amazing God who is beyond our understanding. This morning I'm going to read chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and this is known as the prologue. Now, scholars believe that actually what I am reading is an ancient hymn. And so the original people hearing this text, they would have known that. Kind of like if I stood up to preach this morning and I started out by saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then I launched into a sermon about God's love. You would all know that, right? You'd all be like, yes, we sang that song as a child, and it would be recognizable to you. And so for the first hearers of this gospel, when they listened to this prologue, they knew what it was from. They had sung these words. They knew this hymn. Well, the prologue does something interesting. It is only here that we learn of Jesus described as the Word of God. That's different language to us, the logos in Greek. So when you hear those words, the Word of God, it's Jesus who they were talking about. And our scripture takes us back in time before the universe was created, before anything we know existed, to that pre-time. It talks to us about the relationship between Jesus and God, and then it weaves into the story of the life of Jesus. So I'm going to begin now with the prologue to the Gospel of John. Let's listen to these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Friends, this is the word of the Lord for us this morning.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you on this morning for your word to us. We thank you for our confirmands. We thank you for their parents who have nurtured them and inspired them and trained them. We thank you for Kari Sealand, our amazing youth director. We thank you for Kathleen Fields, our amazing youth elder, for our entire youth ministry team and all of their years of service that we build upon. We ask that you speak to us now, that you quiet all the distractions in our mind, and let us focus on the word that you have for us this day. Open our hearts and minds to the word of life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It was -5 degrees outside in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, as many of our confirmands gathered in the evening in a warm cabin. And they took a leap of faith as they opened up to each other, and they talked about the troubles in their lives. Troubles with kids at school, troubles with friends. They took a leap of faith, and in an environment of trust, they shared with each other. We had just learned and heard an amazing sermon by Pastor Tony Gerken, a youth pastor in Rockford. Tony spoke really, really honestly about the struggles that he had had in middle school and high school. Tony's parents got divorced when he was pretty young. Both his parents then got remarried, but Tony never really felt like his parents wanted him around. His parents didn't seem to have time for him, and he just thought that they would actually be happier if he wasn't around. Tony didn't really fit in at school. He lived in a small town, and it was a town where you couldn't really escape your reputation. Everybody knew who you were, and they knew your story. Tony was surprised at school when suddenly one of the popular girls liked him. He couldn't believe it, and nobody at school could really believe it either, but she thought he was cute. He was really, really excited that Kelly had chosen him to be the guy that she wanted to date. Well, things were going well for a little while, but then he decided to cut his own hair. So he cut his hair, and it just turned out really, really terribly. He looked in the mirror and thought, I cannot go to school like this. But he knew that his mom wasn't going to let him stay home just because he had a bad haircut. So he thought, that's okay, I'm going to go, it'll be fine. First period, one of his friends saw him and was like, oh my gosh, is Kelly senior yet? No, he said, it's not that bad, is it? Yeah, it is that bad, that's what the friend said. You can't see you looking like this. He thought it would be okay. He thought to himself, Kelly loves me. And she's not going to just let a little embarrassing haircut, you know, change. I mean, this girl really loves me. Well, Tony was wrong. Kelly saw the haircut, the whole school was laughing at him, and she dropped him like a hot potato. Tony had trust. He had thought, no, it's going to be okay. She's not going to reject me. But he was wrong. Tony shared over the course of 3 days many stories like this. Stories from his life about things he had experienced. And I'm sure if we all think back to middle school or high school, we can remember trying experiences that we had. I remember when I was in eighth grade, there was one table in the lunchroom that every girl wanted to sit at. And if you sat at that table, you were popular. Now, I know it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it was just whoever could get to that table and sit at that table that day. That was the important thing. You had to eat at that table. And teachers would laugh. There would be open tables in the lunchroom, and there would be literally like 40 girls sitting almost on top of each other, cramming to sit at this table. You had to sit at this table. And if you didn't sit at that table, your whole day was ruined. And so people would strategize about like how to try to get out of class early, like maybe ask to go to the bathroom so they could get to the table and they could have a seat. And again, I know this sounds crazy, but this is what it was like. There was this huge social pressure. And I remember just thinking, okay, I'm tired of having to race to try to sit at that table. And so I just decided I'm not going to go to lunch. I'm going to go to the library. But the thing is, I needed to eat lunch. I couldn't go all day without eating lunch. So I found a carrel in the back where I could sit and I figured out how to sneak my lunch in, and I would eat my lunch, and then I would just stay in the library, and I didn't have to worry about the social pressure at the lunchroom. So I was doing this, it was working pretty well, and then I noticed there was another girl that was in one of my classes. She hadn't gone to my elementary school, so I didn't know her, but she was always there too, and she was in my French class. So after a while, I started to talk to her, Well, she and I opened up to each other, and she was doing the exact same thing as me. She had the same idea. She didn't want to worry about the table, so she was coming to the library too. So she and I became best friends. Social pressure. It can be really, really difficult. Tony opened up to us, and he allowed our youth to feel confident opening up to each other, to know that they weren't going to be rejected, that they could trust each other. Tony's high school started to go even down kind of a worse line, getting in trouble, not doing well in school. He had a friend, though. He had a friend, Scott, one of his few friends, that told him that he should come to his youth group. Actually, he'd been inviting him for a couple years, and Tony was always like, no, I am not going to your stupid youth group. But one day something changed, and Tony decided, okay, you know what, Thursday night, I'm going to go to your youth group. Tony went to the group. He couldn't believe what he experienced. Things started to change. He started to be respected. He started to meet people that actually seemed nice and seemed caring. Going to the youth group for Tony was kind of like finding light in the darkness. Tony started to decide, you know, this Christianity thing, I think it's real. It's not a fairy tale. It's not make-believe. And so for Tony, going to that youth group was like a light. Tony knew darkness. Tony knew that darkness was real. Sometimes he felt so overcome by darkness, he wasn't really able to function. But now, because of the youth group, he also knew that the light of Christ was real. Not only was Christ real, but God's love for him, God's love for each one of us, had the power to overcome darkness. Tony took a leap of faith in going to the youth group that night. At a time of darkness in his life, he took a leap of faith, and he found the light of Christ in that group. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Parents take a leap of faith when they baptize their children. We parents who baptized our children as infants answered those same three questions: to turn from evil and renounce its power in the world, to trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, to be a faithful follower of Christ, obeying his word and showing his love. We made those promises, and we took a leap of faith that at some point our children would profess those, that they would confirm the promises that we had made for them. It's not a given. We weren't sure if it was going to happen. Parents who wait take a leap of faith. They decide not to baptize their baby as an infant, but to take a leap of faith that when their child is ready, when their child knows and understands what it means to have Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, that they will do it. Confirmation is about confirming that, whether we are baptized as a youth or an adult or an infant. It is a time to make that public profession of faith. We each take a leap of faith when we listen to the words of the Bible and affirm that the light of Christ actually lives within us, that God's Spirit, which is the Spirit of life, lives within us and can actually work in us. Our passage read, "What has come into being in him was life, and that life was the light of all people." We do believe that the light of Christ actually lives inside us. And this is a radical notion. It's something we can't quite understand. And it requires us to take a leap of faith. We heard in the first passage that Christopher read today that we are called by God to be a vessel of that light, to be light to the world. And we each need to do that in different ways. We can't do it in the same way. God needs us to do it in different ways. We don't want to hide our light under a bushel basket, as we read. We need to shine that light out to a world in need. We don't have to get overwhelmed with the world's problems thinking, oh gosh, I can't fix world poverty. I cannot fix racism. But we each, in our own way, in just our daily interactions, can be a light to the world. When Mother Teresa was asked, how can people change the world? She said, begin with your own family. That's where you need to start. Start changing the interactions in your family, and that's how you can be a light to the world. This all sounds so good, but sometimes we can't find our own light. If we are at a dark moment in our life, it is hard to shine our light. Our passage asks us to remind ourselves, how can we connect with the light of Christ? How can we let it fill us and sustain us? How can we let it bolster our light at those times when we feel like our light might even be going out? Well, today is confirmation. And the word confirmation, the word confirm, comes from the Latin confirmare. And it actually means to strengthen. That is the essence of confirmation. Our confirmands have spent a year growing and learning and being strengthened in their faith so that they could make that profession of faith. They have spent a lot of time and they have written each their own profession of faith. And I'd encourage you to read those. Those are on the bulletin board across from Pastor Matt's office. You can see a picture of each of them. You can see and read their statement of faith that they presented to the council. And in a few minutes, Natalie is going to read the compilation that we put together. Faith. It's not easy to have, and it's not easy to keep. Faith asks us to believe things that are unbelievable. It asks us to connect with God who we cannot see. It stretches us. It grows us. It calls us out of our comfort zone. Faith calls us to act, to be light to the darkness, to others, to know that the light of Christ can never let go of us, and it can never be put out. To be a Christian requires a leap of faith. And today, Allie, Christopher, Jacqueline, John, Linnea, Molly, Natalie, and Will, you have made that leap. May you know that God is steadfast, that God will never let you go. Amen.